Baskin and Phelps. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Will you tell the Kodachrome story just real quick? I thought it was a great story. I don't care if it has nothing to do with
sports. It's been floating around social media. For those of you who have not seen it, Paul Simon was performing in L.A., and the crowd was cheering after he got done, and somebody yelled out, play Kodachrome. And Paul Simon goes into the microphone and says, if you got 20 bucks, I'll play it. And the guy pulled out a 20. And so Paul Simon got up, grabbed the 20, and played it.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful.
And then Chevy Chase walked on stage, and everyone started screaming, Al, no? Play bongos. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Guardians with a nice win yesterday, 8-2. They take 2 out of 3 from the Nomads. I mean, from the A's. And it is weird to watch the A's. I went to the game yesterday. I was excited to watch Brent Rooker, who went 0-for-4. So, and he struck out 4 times. And he was the guy,
he wanted to see strikes out 4 times.
Yeah. So it was like that. The other part of it, you know, they got some timely hitting. It's still difficult to watch this lineup and expect nothing. You know what I'm saying? Martinez, I think he looks fantastic.
By the way,
he looks great. Can we just leave him center field, lead off?
Can I ask you this?
And leave it. Yes.
Would you leave him in the leadoff spot and put Kwan second?
Yes. Why wouldn't you? Fry's hitting 171. How many more runs could you drive in if you did that?
Could you flip it and leave Steven? And I know they've put Martinez in the second spot a little bit, but this actually seems to be working. If I'm Steven Vogt, I think I would ride this as long as it lasts. And when Kwan's ready, I'm going to put him second. Nothing wrong with that. You're just flipping it a little bit. You know what I mean? If Martinez is hitting better in the leadoff spot, okay, let's roll that for a while. Why not?
I would. I mean, you come out of yesterday's game, Fry still hitting under 200. Rodriguez hitting 155. Wilson, 174. Hedges, 121. Rokia was over 200. Or was at 200 for a minute yesterday. I was really excited. And then he walks out of it at 199. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in the lineup under 200. In fact, Jeff, I don't know if you noticed this or not, and I don't know.
Is it bad that we can count guys under 200?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
It's not good.
And here's the worst part. We've been doing it all year. only 3 today.
All right, how bad is it, Jeff? Well, know how bad it is? When they put the lineup on the scoreboard, they don't put your batting average up there anymore. The number at the end of your name is not batting average when they show you the entire lineup.
Really?
Yeah, it's not on base. Dan, help me. It's not on base percentage.
OPS.
It's OPS, yes. Not OBP, OPS.
Congratulations,
and
Guardians.
I'm just looking at there, and I'm like, 600?
Way to still provide information. Well, camouflaging a glaring thing that most people will completely understand.
Is that wrong, Dan? I noticed that. I was sitting there with my brother-in-law yesterday. We're watching the game, and I was just like,
who you're happy to have in town staying at your house.
By the way, he's leaving right now. They're taking off. So if I wanted to say bad things, I would never. I love my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Both of my brother-in-laws. I love them both.
They speak highly of you.
In fact, I kind of have 3 brother-in-laws. I like all of them. But my point is that it's like, how bad is it that they can't put batting average up there? It's there.
Well, they can.
It's in one spot.
They're trendsetters, Andy.
They choose not to.
They're buying into Menigan Analytics, which is great. That's the way to go.
I mean, I would look at it more, this is how the way the teams are looking at Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but the fans don't.
Oh, my God. If they were all hitting over 300, it would all say 300.
Andy? I mean, Andy Baskin.
Come on.
On the money.
If you go around baseball,
on the money,
most of the other parks, they also have OPS up there over batting average.
Not with the entire lineup.
Yes, for the entire lineup.
Oh, come on.
So
there's
no
way.
You're going to have one person that's got 275 on the end of it, and the next one's going to have 780? That doesn't make any. You'd have everybody going, what? Is that their weight? Huh? What?
You're joking, right?
Huh?
Come on. When you put the whole lineup on, you're putting batting average up there, and you know you are.
All these teams, you go around baseball, it's OPS. They're all up there.
Look at Dan smiling. They're using OPS. Oh, they're using OPS.
Why can't they put WAR up there? I just want to see their name, their number, their position, and WAR. That would be great. Why put your batting average up there? I want to know how many hits you're getting out of every 10 times you go to the plate. Sorry. And I can feel the confidence when I watch Martinez go up there, confidence. When I see Ramirez step up to the plate, confidence. Even Santana, like, at 228, it doesn't bother me because I know there's a chance he's probably going to walk somewhere along the way.
Which is funny because OPS would back up that idea that he's going to walk more than batting average. But go on.
I did that just for so you know that. I mean,
I want my Cracker Jacks with prizes in them, and I want my batting average on the thing.
And I don't want my pretzel and beer to cost anything less than $18.
And I want those prizes inside of my Cracker Jacks to actually be prizes and not some crap I have to scan on my phone.
What do you mean I've got to lick this sticker to make it go to the back of my hand? What is that all about? There's got to be some kind of federal regulation against that. Anyway, I thought they, you know, they looked good yesterday, and it was really good to see, you know, Gavin Williams get a win yesterday for whatever that. I mean, 11 strikeouts, man. He was on fire last night. Now, am I asking myself, well, look who they're playing. They're playing the A's, but they're still a Major League Baseball team. They still had to come in here, and it's not like they wanted to come in to lose. So, you know, I thought it was a good weekend. They're playing well, again, against teams that aren't in first place. And so at some point, this thing's got to even out, and I'm glad it has. They easily could be on a 10-game winning streak. Both of the losses in the last 10 games came on a final play, basically, at the plate. So you're one play away.
Yeah,
that's all.
Okay.
You're going to belittle what I just said.
No.
I can feel it.
I mean, you can say that about a lot of games.
Nah, but these are games that directly you see. It's like game-winning touchdown kind of play, where I'll always sit here and say, well, those Miami fans that want to rip Ohio State for winning that national championship. The referee, it took forever to pull the flag out. No, they didn't win that game. Well, what did Miami do for the entire rest of the game they were supposed to get blown out in, right? And so when you watch a baseball game, if it comes down to like a final play, it's easy to pinpoint final play, just like a buzzer beater in the NBA.
Or easy to say.
But no one's talking about a missed shot in the first quarter.
Or easy to say, our team didn't get it done. I'll go in that direction.
Because that's who you are. Do you believe now?
No, I mean.
Do you believe in this team, Jeff?
It's pretty, no.
You don't?
No. Do I think they have a chance? Yeah, I do. They've, as poorly as they've hit most of this year, they're on a nice stretch right now. Let's see if you can do it for more than a weekend against the Athletics.
Well, you know, they did going into the break.
Okay, that's fine. Let's keep it going.
Well, you've got Baltimore here now.
I think they've done a nice job recently. Let's see if they can keep it going. And maybe they can. I think it would be great. You know, I honestly think Stephen Vogt stumbled onto something because Stephen Kwan has been out, and I would keep Angel Martinez in the leadoff spot for a while. Let's see if he keeps ripping it. All right, just drop Kwan into the second spot, which is no demotion or anything. You're trying to put the best lineup out there to, you know, get the team on the scoreboard. So I would leave Martinez there, and I would put Kwan second, and then let's go. Let's see what that does, because it doesn't sound like Chase DeLauder is coming up anytime soon.
No, that's all.
Not that he's the answer.
But look, they could be after tonight. I mean, all you need is what? You need a Texas loss and an Angels loss tonight. And now you're tied with the Rangers at 50. They would be 50 and 51. And we would be 49 and 50. Essential, okay. Virtual tie. So, you know, now all of a sudden it's just one team to jump. That's it. You got to get to Boston. And you're 4.5 back on Boston. It's the pitching that gives me reason to believe more than anything, Jeff.
Well, sure. Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
You know, you look at a guy like Gavin Williams, and you're like, you know what? And Slade Ciccone, I feel good. I feel good. It's not, you know, you're not relying on one guy up at the top of
Tanner,
whether it was Bibee or VB. Either one of those guys over the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
You're 10 days away from the trade deadline. Are you still thinking, or where are you?
Am I thinking what?
That you can make the playoffs.
Well, of course you can. The numbers tell you you can. The offense tells me, no. I want to see more of it, though. You know, and let's see. If they can continue to manufacture runs and hit like they have since the All-Star break, and you're right before, you know, when they played good ball, then let's see what they can do. But we have a bigger sample size than the last 10 games to tell us that the offense needs help. You know, and the 10-game losing streak wasn't the only sample size that showed us that the offense is struggling. I mean, that's been an all-season thing. It's only been the last 10 games or so where the offense has looked, oh, hey, that's pretty good. Now, let's keep it going. My fingers are crossed, Andy. I would love to see this team playing postseason baseball. How much fun is that? And once you get in, and if they're able to get in, I would think it's because their pitching was really good. And you get in and you have pitching in the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. So I think they have a chance. I think the bigger question is, what should they do before the trade deadline coming up on July 31st? You know, have you seen enough of the offense where you think you're good to go? I haven't. But I also don't want to mess with certain things. And according to Buster Olney from ESPN, Guardians seem willing to mess with certain things. If Buster's information is accurate and Buster's good.
All right, well, swallow this, and then we'll talk about this on the other side, right? Buster only said that the guards only have four untouchable players. And I think you can figure these out right off the top of your head. Ramirez, Kwan. It was these two that I found even more interesting. Clase and Cade Smith. Clase and Cade Smith. And, you know, I think a lot of people have said, man, Clase is like the perfect guy to trade because you could get a lot back. His contract is unbelievably team-friendly right now. And who knows? The question again becomes, are you playing for this year or next year?
Well, the thing to me that if Buster's information is accurate, what he's hearing is you know, on the money, and again, Buster only is one of the best, it screams this. Wait a minute. You'd be willing to trade any of your starting pitchers? Really? Is that true?
I can't believe that.
I can't either. And that's the catch to me.
Well, let's ask you that. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Buster only said it. The Guardians have four untouchables. Ramirez, Kwan, Clase, Cade Smith. That means every starter would be available for trade. Are you down with that? Do you believe that? And do you believe they need to hang on to both Cade Smith and Clase? That was the other way I looked at that. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps. Guardians are 48-50. They're teetering back to 500 here quickly. They've done a nice job in the last 10 games. They are 8-2, and that would make them what? I'm not going to do the math on it. But when you go back and look at what they've done in this last 10-game stretch, I think we should all be pretty happy about the way they're playing. The pitching has been really, really good, and they've gotten a little bit of timely hitting here. They're still, like, when you look at the diff, it just always makes me ill because we're in the red, and we're minus 43. So that means that we've allowed 43 more runs than we've scored, and, you know, that's the second worst in the American League Central. Only the White Sox are worse at 78. And the Orioles, who the Guardians will play, they're minus 99. So there's another team coming in here. And the A's are the only other team that are, you know, in that kind of a hole. So, Jeff, Buster only had a story, and we were talking about this before the break, that Buster only is saying that the guards only have four untouchable players. Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, Emmanuel Clase, and Cade Smith. That's it.
He says everyone else is available, with the Guardians hoping to get maximum value and find more offense.
Are you trading anybody out of the rotation? Let's lead this conversation there.
See, that's the thing I have a when I read that, I thought, okay, and we've heard, you know, we've kind of heard that. But then, you know, let it sink in. You'd trade Tanner Bibee? You would trade Gavin Williams? You would trade Slade Ciccone? Logan Allen's been really good this year. Would you trade Logan Allen? I'm not trading any of those four guys. Because to me, Andy, good, young, quality starting pitching is the best thing you can have as a team moving forward, especially when it's under team control. And it is. So why would you bust that up? Because I think it's going to take a lot to fix this offense.
So
not one bat. I think it's going to take three or four bats to fix this offense.
Here's how good the starting pitching's been. I mean, how long ago was it that Luis Ortiz got suspended or paid administrative leave?
Paid administrative leave.
I mean, that's been a couple weeks now, right?
Yeah.
And has anyone?
It's been the All-Star break, though.
Has anyone noticed?
Well, it's been the All-Star break.
Anyone talking about it?
Has he missed?
So what's he missed, three starts?
I don't think he's even missed that many yet, has he? I'm just not moving any starting pitching, and I want to see Joey Cantillo. So Joey's been up. We'll see what he can do. I just think this team has such a, and I know, okay, well, they're great with starting pitching, so you can trade some because they have more on the way. Maybe. Maybe. But this team, I think if it's going to win this year, is going to have to do it with good starting pitching and a good bullpen. I don't want to move Hunter Gaddis either. I think Hunter Gaddis has done a really nice job out of the bullpen. Not just this year, but I think he's a top-notch back end of the bullpen guy. I don't want to move him. I don't, in this case, want to bust up something that's doing pretty well to put a Band-Aid on something that isn't. Now, if there's a bat or two that come back in a deal for a starter and they think one of their guys isn't quite ready, and maybe Parker Messick is a AAA, former second round pick. Okay. You might be able to talk me into that. But man, I'm hard pressed to bust up that rotation, Andy. I think the guys are doing a really nice job.
Is there anybody who is untouchable in the rotation then?
I would think so.
Who is it?
Well, I don't want to trade Gavin Williams, I don't or want Tanner to trade Bibee or Slade Ciccone. Now, I didn't mention Logan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I like Logan. Last year, remember, they sent him down to the minors, and there seemed to be something going on. I think he's come back and done a really nice job. Good starting pitching is difficult to find, and I think they have a very nice rotation, and I don't want to mess with it. But again, I told you how I might move somebody if you needed to.
All right, Dan, let me fire these same two questions at you because I think Jeff and I are on the same page, so it's kind of, I'm interested in what you have to say. Of those four guys that he said are untouchable, I'm still a little, if they thought they could get a major haul for Clase or Cade Smith, I would do it right now. I don't have a problem with it. Knowing that you'd be keeping one of these guys that could close, and you know, if you traded Clase, the drop-off would probably be a little bit more than it would be on Cade Smith, but you never know. You got to give Cade Smith the opportunity to work his way into Clase's world. So, but I don't know if that's the case. I'd rather hang on to Clase if I thought I could make a run at the playoffs this year or next year. I'm not letting the best or one of the best closers in the game go bye-bye for nothing. So that's where I'll start. But my question for you then is Buster only correct in what he said, saying that the Guardians only have four untouchables, Ramirez, Kwan, Clase, or Smith? And Smith.
I respect the heck out of Buster only. I don't think that's 100% correct. I think they would listen on Class A, especially if somebody would call up and make an offer. Too. I think they will listen on anybody who is not named Jose Ramirez. And it's just due to the fact that Chris, as we know with Chris Antonetti, if the phone rings, he will answer.
Well, he's supposed to.
And he's supposed to. And that's his job, and that's the smartest way to go about it. But the one thing that the Guardians do, and I'll never forget, we had David Sampson on, who was the former, I don't remember what his job title was with the Marlins, but a higher up with the Marlins.
Like a CEO kind of thing.
And I'll never forget him coming on with us and saying how much of a pain in the rear end it is to deal with the Cleveland Guardians. And he meant it in the most complimentary fashion because he goes, they have a price. They set their price. And if you meet their price, they're willing to talk. But they will go no lower than their price. And they will negotiate no lower than their price. And so I think that plays into it with this exact conversation. The starting pitching market at the trade deadline is weak. I feel like we say that every single year, but it feels very weak this year. So I could see somebody calling up the Guardians and going, okay, here's a boatload for Tanner Bibee. He's under 2 years of club control because of that new extension. Here's a boatload for him. And the Guardians going, well, let's have a meeting. You know, what's our price tag for Tanner Bibee? Same thing with Gavin Williams because the starting pitching market is so weak. The other thing I come back to, and I throw this at the two of you. Do you believe in the long-term success of the Detroit Tigers? Do you think what we're seeing is real?
Yes.
For this year, yes. Unless something crazy happens next year. But I see right now, immediately, yes. No question.
Tigers have a nice team.
Which direction do you believe the arrow is pointing for the Minnesota Twins? Up, down, or
sideways?
Straight.
No, sideways. I agree with that, too. Jeff, stop thinking like me. Stop. Okay, keep going.
Scary.
the Kansas City Royals. Is this year the hiccup and they're actually legit?
I think
or
the Royals,
is this year the team that
Royals
is this
are pointing
year legit
up.
Or is last year legit? That's probably the better way to
I
put
it. I think
that.
The Royals are pointing up.
Okay.
I kind of feel like they're in the same boat as the Twins, but keep going.
Okay. And the White Sox are in the toilet.
Yeah, they're
going to be in the toilet for the next 5 years.
They're going to Australia so they can have the water go the other way.
Right.
Funny.
Thank you.
So if you look at the landscape.
Maybe that's what's up with Bizana.
If you look at the landscape of your division.
Oh, confused.
Good point. Maybe he's mesmerized. Hey, mate, the water's going the wrong way.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't it lead you to think that unless somebody makes you some kind of a godfather offer, that either you should stand put or maybe even add?
I saw a rumbling out of Los Angeles, and the Dodgers, of course, have a terrific team. They go after anybody and everybody, and they also have a good farm system. Dan, I'm not sure how to say his first name, but their number one prospect is an outfielder named DePaula, and he's a 6'3", 185-pound left-handed hitter, left-handed thrower, and he's only 20. And he was listed as one of the guys coming to the Guardians in this story for a deal involving Clase and Kwan. And it was like four or five guys from the Dodgers coming over here. But the guy's name, it looks like Jose, except there's a U between the S and the E. So I'm not sure. Do you know his name?
No.
It's
prospects break my brain.
Yeah,
I can't
I
handle it.
But anywho, you know, if you could get the number one hitter out of an organization like that and they consider him the MLB.com says the most advanced young hitter their organization has had in years is the way the Dodgers feel about this kid. But that's the type of guy who, like, if out of nowhere Chris Antonetti gets a phone call and they're asking for somebody on this team and a team is willing, hey, this is our guy. You know what a great prospect this guy is. But now, see, this kid's only in high A ball. You're going to bust things up for a kid in high A ball? That's a big leap.
It starts with Andy Páez. If the Dodgers call, the conversation starts with Andy Páez.
Well, and see, and he was listed in the deal as well.
Right.
And that's the type of thing where if a team that's on top spends a ton of money, has great prospects, and there are several of those teams, and they want to call the Guardians and give them a boatload for somebody with the idea that they think that guy will get them over the top and they can win it all this year. And the Guardians are thinking, yeah, we're competitive, but do we have a team that we think is ready to win it all? Probably not. And you could get something like that. You might have to, you know, bite the bullet on that and make that deal. And that's the type of thing that you might be looking at.
All right, let's circle back here. 9 days to go until the trade deadline. Are the Guardians trying to make a run for that last wild card spot? Is that what the goal should be? Or is the goal to try to just rebuild towards next year? What is the goal? You have 9-10 days away from the trade deadline. Jeff Phelps.
I'm looking ahead more than I'm looking at this year. I don't think this team right now is good enough to go real deep in the playoffs. So I'm not giving up any top prospect. I'm not giving up anybody out of the starting rotation for a temporary bat to come in here. In other words, I'm not going to do a Lane Thomas deal this year. I'm not. You know, they were looking for that last year. They went out and brought in Lane Thomas. Other than pretty good run in the playoffs, Lane hasn't worked out very well here. I'm not going to do that again. You know, they gave up Alex Clemmy and Jose Tena. And Clemmy's a good young pitching prospect who the Nationals have, and Tena has played for them. And I'm just not going to do that this year because I don't think the rest of the team is ready to go. However, if somebody knocks my socks off and gives me a ton of stuff that I think, man, that's going to make me a great team in 2026 and 27 and 28, I'd be real tempted to make a move.
I am not looking at it the same way you are. I don't care how deep they can get into the playoffs. Get me to the playoffs. Get me a ticket to the dance, and we'll see how long I can dance for.
Get
so
me a ticket
I am
that.
Not. I am not looking at this baseball season as well. Even if they get to the playoffs, they're not going to get very far. I don't see that.
I don't think I sounded that way.
I wasn't saying you, but there are other people that say it that way. I'm not looking at
like
it that
a
way.
1950s cartoon villain.
He did, yeah.
Thank you.
He's gonna like pull the mustache. Oh,
mumbly. Talk more about this as we progress. But I'm playing for this season. Scott Petrak is playing for
the Chronicle Telegram.
I don't know, one of six quarterbacks for the Browns. Maybe they'll sign him today. Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, next.